Hello, this is Carolyn. And does anybody want to speak up? Can you hear me? Good. I can't hear you, so I think we have succeeded. So welcome. This is Carolyn Lewis from kindinnervoice.com, and I am really excited to have you all here tonight on this teleclass. I'm really excited to share the information that I'll be sharing. I've been teaching these classes in a lot of different formats over the years, and it's exciting to teach it in the teleclass format and share it that much more broadly. So what the Kind Inner Voice has done for me is it's made me a happier and a healthier and a much more productive person, really in all areas of my life. It's been probably a decade since I started really paying attention to my inner dialogue. And I've been playing with it in all sorts of ways, seeing how much kinder I can be to myself each and every day. I've also shared this with my clients, and I've been a hypnotherapist since 1997. And I've used hypnosis to help people do hundreds of different sorts of things, from quitting smoking to changing eating habits to dealing with fears like fears of flying or fears of snakes or all sorts of things. And sometimes people come in and they really just want help in being a more patient parent or person in their lives. So I've helped people in a lot of different areas. It's an amazing approach to personal growth and change, changing habits of every sort, physical and emotional habits. And as a hypnotherapist, one of the main tools we use is relaxation and imagination. That's all hypnosis really is. As people learn to relax and imagine the change they want to create, it comes very deeply. It comes on a deep level, not just that intellectual level of, yes, I want to do this. So it's the relaxation and imagination of hypnosis that can really foster deep change. But as I've worked with people over the years, I realized this about 2 years into my hypnotherapy practice, I realized that if people were being harsh with themselves, if they were being ongoingly critical and kind of unaccepting of themselves, both in general and in the area that they're looking for change, that could really slow down the progress, and sometimes it could halt it altogether. So people might be making good progress in an area, and then if they slipped up a little bit, and they started being really mean to themselves and telling themselves things like, well, you're never going to get anywhere that way, or you should just give up now, you're just not going to get it. That's sort of an inner dialogue. Some people call it the inner critic. That sort of an inner dialogue really would slow them down. And what I began to do with my clients is I began to look at that inner dialogue before even addressing the change they wanted to make. So I would ask them, well, you know, do you think you're encouraging to yourself, or do you think you tell yourself mean things about this, whatever it might be, changing eating habits or being afraid of flying on airplanes? And when we started paying attention to that, and when they started doing some of the things that I'm going to be teaching you tonight and finding ways that they could actually be more supportive and kind to themselves in both their thoughts and their dialogue and their ways of kind of feeling towards themselves, what happened was I saw people making progress so much faster and holding on to that progress really, really well. So over the years, as I've learned both through my clients and through myself, I've found that it really doesn't matter what a person wants to do. If they can be their own kind inner voice, they can see forward momentum so much faster, and that'll really stay with them. So that's what I'm here tonight, is to both share with you why it makes such a difference and how powerful this is, and to give you some really simple techniques that you can practice tonight on the teleclass and that you can take home. I'm going to ask you to write a few things down through the course of the class so that you'll remember. You can look at that piece of paper, or if you have little cards or sticky notes with you, those are good things to write on. So at this point, if you have writing materials with you, great. If you don't, you might want to scramble something up. Anything is fine. And in a little while, we'll be using those. So why does this kind of inner dialogue make such a difference? I think one of the easiest ways to understand this is to think about if you were teaching a child to read. Let's say you were teaching a child to read. They knew a lot of letters, but not all of them, predictably and consistently. And let's say they were reading a simple, a simple sentence, and they got to the letter D, and they didn't know if it was a D or a B, and they were struggling there. D, B, I don't know. And you can see them getting maybe a little anxious or worried because they don't know. Now, if you are the teacher or just the support person helping them learn this, and you can say to them, wow, look at you. You thought it was maybe D or B, which is great. Out of all the letters in the alphabet, you knew it was either a D or a B, which is a D or a B. Great. Let's go. It's a D. Let's keep going now. You can go on with this because you figured out that it was one of those two letters. So if you had a kind of encouraging way about you as you're helping this child get through the really complicated task of understanding what symbols mean, what they sound like, how they fit together, it's really complex. That child would probably then be able to take a deep breath and relax and continue on with the process of reading that sentence or paragraph or whatever it was. If, on the other hand, you jumped on them and you said, I can't believe you don't know if this is a D or a B. We've gone over this 25 times. We've gone over it last week and the week before, and you're still getting them mixed up. I don't think you're ever going to learn to read. Now, of course, you would never say that. And of course, if you did, what would happen to that child's energy? They would probably, almost certainly, get tight and tense and maybe hold their breath a little bit. And what would happen to their thinking processes is they would pretty much turn themselves off. In other words, when we're under criticism or emotional threats, our thinking mind and our learning mind pretty much shuts down and we go on automatic survival mechanism. So if you think about that example, it's not so hard to understand what it is we need to do for ourselves, because as adults, we think, well, I should just do this. I should just clean off my desk and get it organized and keep it organized. What's the matter with me? Or, well, I should just stop eating whatever, ice cream or fudge or whatever my weakness is. Or, I should be able to do this sort of proposal in 2 hours. Why is it it's taken me 3 days? That's ridiculous. What's the matter with me? You know, for us as adults, we often think that we should simply be able to do and accomplish things just because we think about it, and we think we should. And we often don't honor that for us in our lives, a lot of things are complex. They're as complex to us as reading might be for a child. So for me personally, organization is a complex thing. When I set about to organize my desk, because I'm probably not naturally inclined so much to be organized, I really take the time to be extra kind to myself in that situation. So what I'll do if I'm organizing my desk is I'll say, hey, you know, this is maybe not your favorite thing to do, so let's take it a little bit at a time. And when I finish that small pile over there, instead of saying, oh, my gosh, you just spent 20 minutes on that. That's pathetic. You're never going to get finished. Instead of saying that, I make a specific point, because I know this is a hard area for me. I make a specific point to say, hey, good job. You got that pile done completely. That is great. And that really helps me be more relaxed and more kind of effective in doing something that's really not so very easy for me. So as you go through kind of noticing different areas of your life, there's probably certain areas of your life where you're just naturally positive or neutral, when you set about doing something, because you expect you'll do it and do it well enough, and so you don't really think about it so much. But if there's areas of your life that are maybe a little more challenging for you, those are the ones where if you can activate that kind inner voice, you can really attentively notice what you're saying to yourself and kind of catch yourself if you're being unkind, harsh, critical, giving fearful messages like, wow, you know, if you do that again, you're probably going to lose your job. Even if that were to be true, that wouldn't be such a very helpful way to say it. You know, there would be a much more positive way to say it, which is something like, wow, that's tough. You made that mistake. You feel really bad about that. You're really feeling scared. Let's see if we can figure out a way to make this better. You know, something with a little more compassion. So we will, in a little while, we'll do a kind of a relaxation exercise, because the relaxation piece really does allow the mind to open and explore a lot better. So we'll do a little relaxation piece and a little writing piece where you can really explore the different areas of your life where that's more comfortable. I probably don't, you know, I'm probably fairly positive or neutral with myself in that. And yeah, that area of my life, I suspect I have some pretty negative, critical, or fear-producing sorts of thoughts or stories that I tell myself in that area. And we'll sort it out a little bit so you can have some tools to use. If I had a magic wand, if I could use that magic wand to give you a kind inner voice 100% of the time in every area of your life, what would almost certainly happen is that your effectiveness and your efficiency would double or triple or even quadruple, because no energy would be expended hiding out and trying to escape the criticism and the harshness and the ways that actually really does slow us down and sometimes even paralyze us or stop us in our tracks altogether. So if I could wave that magic wand and give that to all of us 100% of the time, because I still don't have it 100% of the time, you'd also find that your personal happiness just became so expansive and a feeling of inner peace that went with that. And as a result, also you'd find that you're finding it ever so much easier to be patient and positive with challenging colleagues or family members or, you know, anybody that's in your life. So I don't have the magic wand. Probably nobody's going to leave this teleclass with a kind inner voice 100% of the time in all areas of their lives. However, just thinking about this, reflecting on it, will almost certainly help you begin to pay attention to it in some different areas and notice some ahas when you make that shift in your own inner voice that will then gently kind of grow and expand and deepen and flow. So as we go through this, sometimes some of the exercises will kind of let a little light bulb go on. Sometimes you'll be thinking about it later, and you may choose to do some of the really easy little take-home exercises that I have for you to do. And you may find that a light bulb goes on in that situation. And as those light bulbs go on, they really do accumulate. So the kind inner voice might sometimes be reassuring. It might be sometimes enthusiastic, like a cheerleader, like, go, you can do it. And sometimes it might be really just firm and clear, like, yes, if you do this, you're going to be so glad, and you can just do it now, and it'll be all done. So there's lots of flavors, lots of shades of kindness. But the kind inner voice is always respectful, patient, and understanding about just kind of the journey of life and the challenges that we face that are really often just as challenging as a child learning to read, whatever it is we're learning to do, get a new job or a new career or keep the house clean or whatever numbers of things we may be looking at. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to do a couple of exercises, and then I will unmute the lines for questions. So if you have questions now, you can either jot them down Or you can unmute yourself now and ask. So we're going to move into an exercise, and this exercise is going to include a little relaxation. So be as comfortable as you can wherever you are sitting. It's usually nice to do these with your eyes closed because a part of exploring is using the imagination. The language of our subconscious mind, which is where all of our automatic habits are, whether they be physical or emotional, that mind doesn't really respond to logic, which is why I don't just call you all up and say, okay, now you should start being kind to yourself every day all the time, because if it was just a matter of logic, boom, you'd be there. The language of the subconscious mind is the language of imagination, and the subconscious mind also receives learning best when we're at least a little bit relaxed. So if you'd like, you can close your eyes. We'll kind of be alternating writing and relaxed imagining, so you can open them and write anytime something comes to you. And as you get settled, just start by focusing on your breath. And just let your breath soften and release your neck and shoulders a bit. Let your breath travel all the way down to your torso, letting your abdomen expand a bit, a belly breath, we call it sometimes. And just take in a slow, expansive breath. Let your whole body fill up, if you can, imagine that. And as you breathe out, feel yourself letting go just a little bit more. You may want to move around wherever you're sitting or relaxing a little bit and get comfortable. And with real kindness and compassion towards yourself and towards your life's path and towards the challenges that you bump into and have bumped into, with kindness and compassion, as much as possible, just pay attention and notice if there's any area of your life that's currently feeling like a struggle, an area that you suspect you might be saying some negative things to yourself in that area of your life. And sometimes negative things are critical. Sometimes they're scary stories like, well, if you don't do this, then this is going to happen. Sometimes they're judgmental. They're things like, you never were good at this. So negative things can take lots and lots of different formats, but just breathe and notice if there's an area of your life, and maybe one comes to mind, maybe 3 or 5 or 10. What you can do is, when you're ready, write down those areas or that area that is feeling challenging to you in your life right now. It might be feeling like a struggle or even just a small challenge. And now see if you can get a sense of what you might be saying to yourself about this. This is tricky. Sometimes you can know and get a feel for that, and sometimes you really can't. One way to explore what might I be saying to myself in this area of my life is you can ask yourself, what would someone else have to say to me to make me feel discouraged or hopeless or, you know, just feeling like I'm not doing well in this area of my life. So sometimes you can imagine, wow, if somebody else said that to me, I'd kind of feel the way I'm feeling now. So breathe, relax with kindness to yourself, explore, what might I be saying to myself? If anything comes to mind, jot it down, and if nothing comes to mind, that's absolutely fine. Often when I do these exercises myself for the first and second or even third time, it's just little glimmers. I don't really know. But with time, they come clearer. Now, when you're ready, take in another slow, full breath. And as you breathe out, Just imagine letting go some of that negativity like dust or debris. Imagine it just actually flows out of your body, out of your hands and your feet. And again, here we're imagining because that's the language of the body, that's the language of the subconscious mind. So if it works for you, imagine drains in the bottoms of your hands and your feet. Imagine that when you breathe out, that dust stream away right out of your hands and your feet. Great. And now, just think of an area of your life that you're more comfortable in. It can be really simple. It doesn't have to be monumental. It could be when I take my dog for a walk, I'm usually comfortable, or when I'm washing my car or cooking a meal or working on my motorcycle or doing this sort of a project at work. So think of an area of your life that you tend to be comfortable in much of the time. And write that area down, and it can be more than one once again. And just take a guess about what you might be saying to yourself in that situation. For example, when I take my dog for a walk, even if it's raining and cold and wet, I usually say, well, actually, I'm going to be really glad once I get out there. Because taking my dog for a walk is rarely stressful for me. So that's just kind of my innate inner acceptance or kindness. So see if you can notice what might you be saying to yourself. It might not be so much kind as neutral or matter of fact, or sometimes it is kind. Wow, your cookies are going to turn out great. And once again, if anything comes to mind, write it down. If you just get little glimmers, jot those glimmers down, because later on they may kind of inspire some other little glimmers. Great. So in just a moment, I'm going to unmute you. And if you have any questions or thoughts or comments or just experiences that might have come up during the whole first part of this class, I'd love to hear them. It'll really enrich the class, so that's always nice to hear. Before we do that, I want to give you just an example from my life that may help make sense of the exercise we just did. This was just a kind of moment of truth for me that happened, 10 years ago maybe. And I still remember it quite vividly because it was a pivotal point in my life when a whole huge layer of self-criticism and harshness dissolved and stayed dissolved because of the awareness that bubbled up for me at this particular moment. And this particular moment was an evening when I was at work. It was dinner time. And I had 3 or 4 more phone calls to make that really were important to my business and as well to the people who I was trying to reach via the telephone. So it was dinner time, and as I set about making the third to last call, I realized I felt absolutely sick inside. I felt terrible. And I felt so terrible, I actually paused and I said to myself, wow, why terrible? What am I saying to myself? And when I listened, what I heard, you are a terrible mother. You should be home making dinner. And here you are at the office making phone calls. So I paused and I thought, well, what if I had left these phone calls and gone home to make dinner? How would I be feeling? And I knew perfectly well how I would be feeling. I would be feeling like I was a terrible person because I left these people who really wanted badly to talk to me. I left them hanging for a whole day, and how really hurtful that was going to be to them. So when I realized that, I came to realize I had set up a situation for myself where I just couldn't win. And it's not only that particular evening that I just couldn't win, because the dialogue could have gone on and on, like you've organized yourself terribly that you came to this. It was often that I came to this kind of fork in the road where I couldn't win, because I would criticize myself whichever fork I took. And at that moment, I really made a commitment to myself that I would pay attention, and if I was feeling terrible, I would tune in and say, like, what are you saying to yourself? So in that particular situation, I really spoke up loud and clear to the critical, harsh voice, and I said, you know what? I'm actually being a good parent in this situation by staying and making these phone calls, and it needs to be done for my business, and a part of being a parent is taking care of my children. So I'm taking care of my children in a different way than I. And whenever that feeling came up, I would really look for a way to put it into perspective. If I opted to go home and make the phone and not make the phone calls, or make the phone calls later and maybe miss some of those people, I would also find a way to talk to myself kindly about that, so that indeed I could feel good about the tremendous effort I was putting forth in both of these areas of my life, instead of feeling bad about it. So I'm going to go back to my pushing of buttons here. In just a moment, you'll be unmuted, and I would love to hear questions or comments in just a minute. Okay, I think. All right, you are all unmuted. And does anybody have any thoughts, questions, comments, anything coming to mind?
Hi, Carolyn. This is Tom.
Yes, hi.
Can you hear me?
Thanks. Yep.
Hi. One thought that I have as you go through, as you went through the last, you know, the introduction and then that relaxation, is that not so kind inner voice, for me, has always sort of been like the policeman that keeps me on track, that motivates me, that, you know, certainly, you know, barks at me if I haven't done something I planned to do that morning. So I guess what I'm wondering is, if I quiet that voice, does that mean that I'm just like give myself permission to not be as productive or get things done? And, you know, I mean, why get out of bed?
Oh, I love it. That's a great question. The policeman inner voice, and can that, if that inner voice gets quiet, would one just stay in bed all day? Why not? Right. Nobody's yelling at me. And I think, you know, that's a really, there's a real nuance there, because that policeman voice, or that really kind of nagging, hurry up and do this, hurry up and do that, can be what we're used to in terms of, this is what it takes for me to get something done. And I think a good way to think about that, and I give analogies a lot because it's kind of the way our subconscious mind understands things. If you think about a teacher in a classroom, and if that teacher is always snapping, nagging, hurry up now, you kids haven't done this yet, that's ridiculous. You should have had this done 10 minutes ago. Being in that teacher's classroom is, maybe the kids will get stuff done. Some of them will. Some of them will rebel. However, they're not going to have a great quality of enjoyment of their day at school, most likely. So if you think about it in that terms, you can have a teacher that's very firm and clear, and sometimes that's really the nature of our inner kind voices. It will be firm and clear, and it might say something more like, all right, this is what really needs to be done today, and you're going to feel a lot better if you get it done and get it done quickly. And as a teacher might do, there may even be a reward of some sort, like, wow, if you get this done, you know, then you'll have time to go out and, you know, sit out in the sun for 5 minutes or something like that. But I think that might be the best way to kind of think about it, is that taking the policeman off duty, that kind of like fierce voice, doesn't mean you're taking the awareness off duty. It just means you're shifting it into maybe a kinder firmness rather than a more aggressive, and I didn't really hear aggressive in your particular policeman voice, but some people it will be pretty harsh. So it's more softening that, keeping the firmness, keeping the clearness, but without the unkindness or the lack of respect that sometimes comes in there. So thank you. And any other thoughts or questions or any more about that particular issue?
I have a question, Carolyn. If we have decided that we're going to be kind to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
which sounds so relaxing.
Yeah.
For some reason, I find that frightening.
Oh, yeah. Can you tune in a little bit? Can you tune in a little bit to what you imagine would happen if you did that? And this is on the emotional level, probably more than the literal, actual level.
Yeah. It's a matter of... I think it falls along the same lines as the previous question, is that, well, then I just won't be good at anything if I'm nice to myself.
Yeah.
You know, I have to be like the slave driver to get good at anything.
Yeah.
And I'll be like mediocre, if I do something, you know, mediocre, and I'm not there going, well, that was mediocre, then I'll just stay that way.
Yeah, yeah. So I've experienced that particular fear myself, and I'll say for me, and I don't know if this is true for you, for me it comes a little bit from something like perfectionism. In other words, I'm not an okay person if I make a mistake, and so I got to really be watchful, or I might make a mistake, and that is a terrifying thing to do, you know, for all sorts of reasons on the level of my emotional mind. So does it feel like that's the case, or is it different than that?
I think that it does have a feeling tone. I'm... This is such a huge issue for me. I know it's something that I've been working with for the last couple of months, and that I swear I'm having a hard time staying awake.
Oh, yeah. Well, the last exercise we did was a sleepy exercise as well.
Oh, man.
Thank you for staying awake.
No, I nodded off there for a second.
Yeah, that's actually the nature. Well, it may be the kind of the intensity of the fear, and it may be the nature of the relaxation. But what I'll say is that can sometimes come up, that fear, and sometimes a good way to deal with that is to play with it in a very tiny area of your life that doesn't matter so much. So maybe if I was making dinner for, for two friends who I know well and they like me and I have no worries about their judging me about the food I was making.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was feeling like I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to hurry up and it's got to be ready on time, that might be a place where I would play with, okay, what if I just decide to be nice to myself and I simplify the meal and I tell myself that's going to be okay, and my friends are going to like me anyway. So what if I, tell myself that? That would be like a little tiny arena where I could experiment and see how it played out. So that might be a way to play with it. And another way to understand why that doesn't happen is to think of the difference between a harsh, demanding teacher, where the kids get things done, a kind, firm, clear teacher who's really kind, really enthusiastic, really appreciates the kids when they make an effort, whether or not it's perfect. Wow, that's a great job on that, because they know the child really made an effort. That child's going to thrive and grow and get better and better much faster than if the child made an effort, but the teacher deemed it wasn't successful, and therefore they jump on them and say, it's a terrible job. And I think when we fear we're going to stop getting anything done and kind of fall apart, that's usually we're thinking of the teacher sort of person who says, ah, you guys do whatever you want. I'm just sitting up here with my feet on my desk, and go ahead, play. I don't care. Throw spitballs. And I think when we get a little fearful, like if I didn't have my policeman voice or my driving me voice, if we get fearful that, oh, my gosh, I'll be mediocre, or, you know, I really won't get anything done, usually we're envisioning that being kind means you let go of the reins altogether and put your feet on the desk and say, whatever you want to do, you know, that's fine, and being that sort of a teacher for ourselves. And that's
okay.
Thank you both of you for asking that question, because I think that is indeed one of the biggest challenges on the subtle level that keeps us from being kind to ourselves, because of the belief that, oh, well, I'll never get anything done, or I really won't be, you know, successful in my life if I don't drive myself with this harsh critical eye to things.
And I think that you made a really great point there in saying that, okay, well, I can be, I can stop being so judgmental and so mean to myself, but that doesn't mean that I can just say, well, who cares, and just throw any slop on the table.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to mean that. It can mean, okay, I will do my best, and I will give my best, and I will love myself for giving my best. It doesn't mean I don't then, therefore, don't give my best.
Yeah.
And that's a really important piece. I like that a lot.
Thank you. Thank you both. That was probably one of the key questions that when people get that at the really deep level, they can shift into greater kindness to self a lot more easily, because, oh, yeah, I'm not just saying anything goes.
So, right.
The other point that you made that really resonates for me is you said to start with something small, because, you know, I can see getting off this call and then tomorrow beating myself up for not having a kind inner voice. You know, I think like anything, I need to practice by taking something that's not really important and just noticing myself talk, and then start with something small. Otherwise, I'll set myself up for failure.
That is really, really true. And again, thank you, because learning in those tiny little ways, that's how we learn things. You know, almost always, the child learning to read, they don't learn to read War and Peace right away. They start with, you know, one letter or three letters. So, yes, thank you. The small little pieces, the areas of our life that are maybe a little more accessible to us for changing are great places to go to. So I'm going to push the mute buttons again, if nobody else has anything to ask or say. And then I'll talk a little bit more, and then I'll wrap up the class with another exercise. This time, if you fall asleep, no problem. And honestly, this time of the evening and this level of relaxation, deep rest that feels like sleep is still a really useful place to be, so you don't need to worry when you do these things about whether you're, you know, fully cognizant or consciously aware, because the subconscious is going to be integrating these things, even if you're kind of drifting in and out. So here we go. I'm going to mute once again, and at the very end of the class, after I stop recording, I'll unmute one more time, and if anybody's there that wants to say goodbye or ask more questions, we'll have as long as we want for that. Here we go. All right. So we're going to wrap up the class with another nice exercise that will help invite your inner mind to connect to kindness. And I'll give you some take-home tools also at the end of the class. But I also first want to let you know about some additional resources that can help you follow through with this. Because what you got in this class is a lot. It could take you very, very far. And the tricky part, as probably most of us know, is remembering to pay attention to this. So one of the things you can do if you're interested is you can go to my website and look for the teleclass series that are offered. And these are classes that are both pretty similar to this, a combination of my giving you exercises and information and us dialoguing together. So the teleclasses are great because you're working with other people that are working in the same area, kind of moving in the same direction. You get inspired by what they're learning and doing. This Kind Inner Voice teleclass series also includes some recordings that you can listen to that'll help remind you. Some are like relaxation recordings, some are more driving recordings. So some different ways that you can help foster this. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is you can order the Kind Inner Voice DVD. And what this is, it's a class that I recorded that I was teaching here in my office in Vermont in a kind of a small intimate setting. And this class is actually three classes sequentially with exercises and kind of homework to do in between. So that's another way you can use this. You can maybe do it at home or do it with a friend as you watch the DVD and kind of stay focused on, oh, yeah, here's another step. Here's another thing I can do. That DVD is coming out in September of 2010. And yet another thing you can do is you can do private phone sessions with me. Unless you're close to Vermont, then you can do, in-person sessions. But the private sessions include EFT or meridian tapping. Some of you know what that is. It's a kind of a mental acupressure. And they also include personalized recordings that I can make to help you address your specific personal issues. So those are some of the ways you can play around with ongoing support. In addition to that, I do have a gift for you as a thank you for coming to this class or for listening to the recording, and that is a 10-minute meditation that I recorded with this kind of particular class in mind. It's a follow-up specifically to what we did in this class, and it'll bring the pieces of the class together in a way that you can practice them by just pushing play and relaxing through the recording. So if you would like that meditation recording, just send me an email and request that free recording from the teleclass. And you can contact me through the kindinnervoice.com website. So before we do the final exercise, because I don't actually want you to have to think or work too hard after we do that final exercise, since it is relaxing, I want you to write down if you're writing, or just listen, and you can listen to it again if you like, because I will give you the opportunity to get this recording as well, to some simple things you can do on your own to help deepen and strengthen your own kind inner voice. The first one is really, really simple. For those of you who know what affirmations are, this is an affirmation particular to this process. So you can write the words down: kindness, patience, respect. Now, my favorite form of affirmation is just a few words. There's lots and lots of other ways to do affirmations, but the advantage of just a few words is you don't have any argument with your conscious mind saying, well, I don't know if I could do that. The other form of this particular affirmation is in the I form, which is the way we usually find affirmations, and you can write this down if you like or listen to it later. I treat myself with kindness, patience, and respect. I treat myself with kindness, patience, and respect. And again, you think of that teacher that's kind, patient, and respectful. Our students often learn very well because they're relaxed and open and excited because that teacher is kind to them. So what you can do with either of those affirmations is simply repeat it to yourself 20 times a day. You can do it while you're brushing your teeth or driving or walking. And often the theory of affirmations is believe it, feel it, envision it. If you can, great. However, if you can't, you don't have to. You just repeat it, kindness, patience, respect, kindness, patience, respect. And what will happen is you're beginning to kind of open that pathway of the mind and that automatic mind, home of habits, emotions, memory, will begin to be more and more open and to just kind of stumble into it or, notice, oh, I am on that kind, patient, respectful path. So that's one thing. Use that affirmation. It's really simple and more powerful than you believe. Than you would believe if you do that for 2 weeks. I imagine you would find some really interesting and positive things occurring. A second thing you can do is a little bit like I described in that sitting in my office with the telephone calls experience. If you notice you're feeling bad or anxious or stressed or wherever you feel your stress in your body, you're feeling it, if you can pause and ask yourself, what critical or harsh or fearful things might I be saying to myself right now? And what would feel encouraging or reassuring for me to hear right now? That's just a way of jiggling the old automatic self-talk patterns. Just kind of a relaxed inquiry without needing to get a clear answer is something you can use. So those are two things you can do along with those of you who know EFT. You can use some tapping. You can use the phrase, even though whatever. The issue is I want to bring kindness and compassion to myself about this. And that's a powerful way of using EFT to move in that direction. So we're going to wrap up the class with another, just a kind of a relaxation and clearing and exploring kindness. So go ahead, get comfortable again. And take in a slow, soft breath. And what I'd like you to imagine or think about is a time when you were kind to someone or something. It doesn't even have to be a person. It can be a pet. It can be watering your flowers. What we're looking for is the energy of kindness and caring, kind of nurturing. So it could be a friend. It could be anything, anybody. And it doesn't have to be a big thing again, just a moment. Maybe somebody you smiled at in the grocery store and helped them out. So let your mind drift, a time when you were kind or encouraging or supportive or a good listener. And you can write this down or these things down. You don't have to if you just want to relax through this and let it flow. And again, don't worry about getting crystal clear things coming to mind. Just impressions are fine. We're looking for energy here. And think about a time when someone was helpful or just kind or patient towards you. And sometimes it's actually fun to go back in time to coaches or teachers or relatives, people who really were very positive. And, of course, nobody's positive all the time in our lives. But for the most part, we're positive and helpful. So go explore the sort of way that you find is helpful or encouraging or positive, something, some way somebody has been for you. Tuning in, it might be you sense energy or body language or see a person's expression on their face or their words. And now, if you've kind of found a little glimmer of something on that end. What we can do is just breathe deeply and imagine that each breath in is carrying that sort of kindness, support, and encouragement within you. Just invite it. We can't force it to happen. We can just invite it and let your body be as soft and open as you can to invite that support, encouragement, kindness, that sort of energy that helps you do what you want to do. What sort of energy does that feel like? And then as you begin to bring your attention back to the here and the now, you can just notice if there's anything that you think that, gosh, it'd be nice to work on this tiny little thing and find a little kindness to myself in this tiny little area. Or maybe this bigger area, remembering that sometimes it's easier to take, if you choose a big area, to take a tiny little piece of that big area. And imagine what it would feel like if you were a little kinder to yourself in that area. And know that that kindness and encouragement can help you do what you want to do and be who you want to be in a really positive, focused, and energetic way. It can give you that excitement, inspiration, and real hope that a positive energy can give you. And so when you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. You can take a deep breath in and let the right sort of energy return into your body, the sort that will let you do whatever you need to do for the rest of the evening. You might even take a moment to imagine what that is, not a big, huge lot of things, maybe a few things you'd like to do them in the way you'd like to do them, what that might be. And then when you're ready, bringing your attention back to the here and the now, and just looking forward to letting this kind of percolate. The nice thing about this sort of work, it's not something you have to actually work at. You just have to invite, let it percolate, invite it again. You can invite it again in lots and lots of places. And it's always a gentle invitation. It's absolutely something that is nurtured, not forced. And any amount that you really move is a wonderful amount, and it's just different for everybody. So looking forward to being interested, curious, relaxed about how this unfolds for you. And I would encourage you to email me with the request for that recorded meditation. I will actually email you after this class with the link to the recording and remind you that you can request the recorded meditation, but I won't give the meditation to you automatically. And I thank you so much for joining me. It's been really nice. I appreciate the participation, everybody that's been on this call. And I hope that you'll visit me at kindinnervoice.com. Thank you, and I will open the lines for saying goodbye or further questions after I end this recording.